It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hitler gives us something, just something a wee bit different, you know, in terms of what he can offer a ball winner who also looks as if he can play a bit. And by playing a bit, it's it looks as if, you know, he wants to get the ball forward. And if you're going to have people that can't well, Ken Tillman in your team, then the earlier we can get the ball to them, then the more damage that they're going to do. So I think in terms of the two signings we've got, I'm absolutely delighted with that. We had a wee bit of a chat earlier in the night just about potentially in other areas that we might have. And it looks as if the club were looking to do a bit of business. And I think it looks as if centre-half might have been an area that they were looking at. And originally I was a bit confused by that. But maybe the more I thought about it, when you think that Hollander's probably not going to kick a ball again, Suter, obviously, with his injury record, you know, just that nervousness about in case he breaks down again. And then you've got Leon King, who, you know, we talked about the fact that as a young boy, he's played more football than he probably thought he was going to this year. And he certainly played at a higher level than he ever thought he was going to play this year. And, you know, the experiences he had, particularly in the Champions League, might have just taken it out of him a wee bit as a young boy. So I can understand maybe the logic that he was maybe thinking about getting another centre-half just in case anything happens to Goldson or Davies. But at the end of the day, I'm happy that we've not just taken somebody for the sake of it.
Yeah.
If the deal wasn't right for us, whether that was it was too much money or it was just going to be a loan signing or whatever, and I've just felt it's not right, then do you know what? I'm content that we're just keeping things as they are, and then let's see what happens in the summer. And I don't know, what do you feel about it?
I'm happy with two boys come in, obviously. I mean, it's two players, have you said to me, at the start of the taking, especially Campbell, because I've seen Todd a few times before and know what he does. Raskin, to be honest with you, I didn't really know much about him. I don't really watch Belgian football and don't really get a chance to watch it, to be honest with you. So I was just taking on board what you guys were saying and on YouTube and stuff, but reading about him and watching stuff, he looks really good. He's got a lot of potential. I don't think he's anywhere near like hitting his peak for another 5-6 years. So hopefully we get to see the best of him and build him up to that. And maybe we can make a bit of money on him as well. I know people don't want to hear that, but it's a business at the end of the day. So we bring him in for what he brought him in for, was it 1.5, 1.7 or something, then you sell him for maybe anywhere between 5 and 12 million or whatever. You can make some money on him, do you know what I mean? And by all accounts, looking at his interview today, he seems really happy. He said he'd turned down a few other offers to come to us. So that's the kind of stuff I like to hear. I know it is a lot put in front of you just for a lot of interviews when you join somebody just roughly the same, doesn't matter who you join. But no, I'm interested to see how he does. I'm looking forward to seeing how he does. Campbell started really well that weekend. I'm not sure if we'll be involved tomorrow night, as in from the start, but yeah, it looks really well. Raskin, I think, maybe a few weeks before he's involved, Stuart, or do you think he'll chuck him right in?
I think he'll be in a similar position as Cantwell in terms of he'll be fit. He's maybe just not match sharp. So it wouldn't surprise me. I don't doubt we'll see him tomorrow. I agree with you. I don't think we'll see Cantwell starting tomorrow either. But it wouldn't surprise me that Raskin starts at the weekend, because I think Beal will want to try and get him up to speed as quickly as possible. Like I say, he'll be fit. It's just that match sharpness, and he's only going to get that by playing minutes. So it might be something similar to what we've seen with Cantwell. Give him an hour, you know, as his first run out, and hopefully, you know, that's him on the road to get 90 minutes under his belt, you know, as the weeks go on.
Yeah, now Curry's asked a question there. He's saying hi to me, but I'll let you answer this, Stuart. Yeah, he said, I'm getting pelters as I'm not pleased. It's just two coming in. The summer is going to be a nightmare with players either not good enough in the contract or injury prone. What's your take on that, Stuart?
So I think one of the things I've talked about in the previous pods is maybe, you know, Beal might learn from this in terms of what he said earlier in the window. You know, I think there was almost an expectation in terms of what he said that there's going to be at least three coming through the door. I wonder if he would maybe just learn from that and maybe not be as quite specific, because it then kind of feels as if there's a bit of a letdown there that we haven't got three in. We touched on it earlier. You know, last January we brought in some players like a Diallo, for example,
yeah,
who is clearly a very good player, but Sunderland are now getting the benefit of what Rangers bringing him in last year. I think, you know, he got used to playing for a big club, you know, the pressures and the expectations around that, and now Sunderland are kind of reaping the benefits of that. So I go back to what I said previously. I think I'm happier that we haven't just went and, you know, brought somebody in on loan just for the sake of it. Even Whittaker, for an example, I don't know what you think. I wasn't convinced with Whittaker that he was going to come in and be a starter for us, you know, because he's still a relatively young boy. And I just think that maybe they've went, you know, Swansea have just started to demand too much money for him. They've thought, actually, we had you coming back. We've got Cantwell in. We've got Scott Wright. We've got Sakala. They can kind of play within, you know, that area. That actually, we're not just paying money for the sake of it for a guy who potentially might not have been a starter. I'm sure if you ask Michael Beale, he would have liked to have had another couple in the door. But it's a difficult time to do it.
I know. I mean, I'll flip that when you say that Diallo was maybe too soon, but Raskin or Whittaker, sorry, you were saying that Whittaker maybe being too young or coming. Now, if Whittaker was foreign, coming for a foreign league, the same age as Raskin, would fans accept him more? Do you think it's because he's coming for maybe playing only League One in England and maybe playing at Plymouth and moving in and out of Swansea side, people are thinking that's no Rangers standard, whereas I think he's looking for competition, obviously, for the right-hand side, because as you know, and everybody else knows, we've struggled down the right-hand side. It's not just last season, it's been the last few seasons. And I don't think we've got money to burn. So I think they're trying to be shrewd with a poor like Cantwell, not a lot of money. I know it was probably to be honest with you, is probably about the same amount of money they paid for Raskin. Get under the scores, they probably find probably 1.5 million with add-ons for Todd Cantwell as well. And the Raskin thing, everybody was, I see people complain about the money, but I'd rather go out and get it, pay the money and get them, instead of push your foot about and saying, right, I'm willing to pay that extra 100 grand or 200 grand, because at the end of the day, you're not talking to a 20 million, you're talking a couple hundred thousand for a boy you desperately want. So go out and get them, show them you want them, and they'll come. Don't hag over a fee you shouldn't be haggling over. So I would rather...
100%.
So do you think, if Whittaker was coming for, say, Belgium or something like that, and he was maybe Belgium or whatever, and you'd probably say, well, he's played with the Belgian in the 19s, he's been out and loan, but he's got a lot of potential. Do you think people would be more accepted he's coming in rather than somebody coming for League One in England?
I think we're probably all a wee bit guilty of that as Rangers fans. I think we're certainly guilty of doing that when it comes to Scottish players. Or they're Scottish, or, you know, they play for Hibs or Dundee United or whatever like that, you know. So I think that's a fair point. to a degree, in that, you know, if he's maybe coming from abroad, there's maybe an element where we maybe think that they're technically better or whatever, and that's clearly not the case. I mean, the boy's clearly a good player, you know, and you know, I think there's definite interest there. You just wonder that, you know, maybe Rangers have just felt that Swansea were just pushing it too far in terms of what they were after. And it's not to say that, you know, he's not going to be on the radar for the summer. You know, they've just maybe made that decision that they feel they've got enough cover in that area at the moment that, you know, they can get through to the end of the season and then we'll reevaluate it then.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree. I do feel you probably asked me, could be, probably would have liked maybe one or two more, just for the fact, I think if we were close in the league title race, would have got one or two more?
They would have maybe pushed the boat out more. He would have maybe have sped things up a wee bit. I mean, the rumours are that he's, the kind of chat is that he's comfortable and it's now, you know, he would rather kind of reassess and do more business in the summer. But yeah, I think you're right. If this was a kind of, you know, if we were nip and tuck with them for the title, then yeah, I'd imagine he might have tried to push the boat out and try and get at least another body in. And that may well have been that a centre half or anything like that. That's not to say that, you know, this season's a write off. There's still two cups, you know, that, you know, the league's not over, but let's be realistic. Two cups are probably his main aim. And, I do believe these cup competitions are important to him. He's got a bit of breathing space. He's a new manager, but he'll have extra breathing space if he can pick up a couple of cups, to show us that between now and the end of the season. So, I think that's a fair point. I think if it had been closer, we might have seen a wee bit more activity.
Just like they say, although I've got quite a lot of hats, probably too many, as my wife would say. And as for Lee stealing my hoodie thing, that's poor. Everybody wants to wear my hoodies, don't they? And I'm not wearing it tonight as well, because I'm not that cold.
Big debate about whether what colour his hoodie was actually today, you know, because it certainly looked very green. but he was adamant that it was blue, but I'm not sure about that.
No, Lee likes the green, but that's his choice of colour. And Ross likes my hat as well. Cheers, Ross. So obviously, I mean, I heard, obviously we're after that boy, Jack Whitmore, for Wigan. And by all accounts, he got there player of the year last year. I was talking to a few boys today, one boy works for Wigan, he was saying that he's a very strong defender, he's good near, he's physical. He's okay with coming out for the back with the ball, his main job is defending. So to me, that's total opposite for Davis and Golson. Maybe
yep.
He's looking for something slightly different. That's how
he
maybe went for something
like this. I mean, again, not somebody that I know a great deal about. I was slightly worried when I started reading up on him, you know, his injuries of the past, and I thought, God, surely we're not going down this route again. But yeah, look, the other one, you know, that keeps getting mentioned is Jake Cooper, isn't it, from Millwall? And I do wonder if there is maybe something in that, because that was definitely somebody that Gerrard was interested in, you know, when he was manager, and obviously Beale would have been part of those discussions. I think I've seen more of Jake Cooper than what I have of the other lads. So, and I think he is on a boardman. I think that would be a great signing. Just his height as well. You know, I mean, he'd be a real threat in an opposition penalty box, and he does look comfortable in the ball. So, you know, it's clearly Beale wants us to start, you know, his style of play. He wants to get the ball out for the back. He wants to, you know, his defenders to be able to use the ball well and start attacks. And, you know, Raskin will obviously help with that. So, I think we can start to see. We talked about in the earlier pod, and I don't know if you agree with this. There does seem to be a bit more of a plan here with regards to our targets than maybe, I don't know what you feel under Gio. I don't know if it felt as if there was a plan. It definitely feels as if he knows what he wants. I mean, he's already talking goalkeeper, centre-half, midfielder, forward, that spine of the team for the summer.
I think he just came with a plan, but Ross has asked that question. Do we still need a right wing? Right-sided midfielder, right winger? I think we do, Stuart. I think we still need somebody there who can make a position his own. We've tried counting some players there. Some have good games, some have bad games. Does Matondo, does he eventually get a chance to play there? Or does he prefer to play on our side? I think it depends the way Beale wants to play. But I think we do need somebody who likes to play on that side. And I think that's the reason he went for the boy, Whittaker, because he can play there. He's a bit physical. He's a tall lad. He's athletic. And he can also play as a right wing back. And he can also play through middle. But like I said, the other way, we have to be shrewd with the money because you've not got a lot. So because you buy somebody for a couple of million and then you maybe get something in a couple hundred grand or a loan, an option to buy, it doesn't mean you're, it just means you have to cover the way you work. I mean, you see clubs in England doing it, you see clubs abroad doing it, they'll sign players an option to buy because sometimes that's a one-win situation. If they come in and, if you agree a fee before they come in and they come in and play really well, you're getting them probably at a bargain price. But if they come in and play awful, you can send them back. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you're not spending a lot of money on somebody who 6 months down the line, like Abby Matondo has done, who's not impressed, and we're thinking, why do we buy him? I mean, you hope the boy maybe can get a piece of life and shows what he is made of or shows what he's got. I mean, I'm not going to say he's not got anything because he's a professional footballer who's been involved in a few moves. For some reason, he's just has been given enough chances. I don't know. I don't think he looks, I'm not saying he doesn't look interested, he just seems lost when I've seen him play. Whereas somebody like Fashion, who might not be as skillful, might not be as better footballer, but Fashion seems more interested. We all know Fashion can be a hit and a miss, but he's more often a hit and a miss since he's been playing, and he can make an impression, he can make an impact. Matondo hasn't impressed. I know Jamie Duff saying that, but he has no impression. But we must have, we just didn't go out and buy him for sake. It must have been somebody watched him.
Yeah, and I think with Sakala, what you're now seeing is he's now getting a run of games. And he's clearly benefiting from that. You know, his form's picked up because it isn't stop-start. Matondo's not had that. You know, and I appreciate that he's maybe not done a great deal to merit, you know, getting a run. But at some point, you know, because we have invested in him and he's supposedly on a very decent wage. So, you know, you would like to, you know, we're either going to have to cut our losses at some point or, you know, let's see what he can do. And just I mean, on that question there, just because we haven't brought in a right winger in this window, I don't think that means that Beale doesn't feel that he needs someone there. I think that is still something that he will look at going forward, and I would expect in the summer that, you know, there would be some activity in that area as well.
I mean, everybody's looking forward to the summer, right? But do you actually think it's going to be a big, massive turnaround? I don't think it'll be as big as people think. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I don't see us bringing in like 10 players leaving, 10 players come in, for sure, because I don't think the club would do that. I think maybe more will go than come in, because I don't know if Beale wants a big, massive squad. I think he just wants a decent squad. You're going to have a lot. You're going to have your first 11 here wanting to be a starter, obviously, and you want to be the guys you can trust. But some of the players that you'll have on the bench, you want your bench to be strong, but sometimes these are just guys you can bring on and you can maybe play every so often, but they're probably no guys that you can start quite regular, do you know what I mean? So I think it just depends how, because people think if you bring players in free, you save money, but when you bring someone in a free, they're asking for more wages because there's no transfer fee involved. So I just think we have to be clever, but I just sometimes feel the club, and I don't know the ins and outs of Rangers, I honestly don't, but the way they work compared to other clubs, from where I see it, we seem to be slow at times.
Mm-hmm.
Because Raskin, we've been interested in Raskin since last summer, by all accounts, but it took us to the last day of the window to sign him. And that could be for a few various reasons, but that still doesn't mean you can't go out and talk to A, B, or C as well, because we seem to focus all on Raskin, and we know we are short. So I'm just hoping in the summer we don't focus on one or two guys and maybe panic at the end, like we'd maybe done like last window. We ended up with a couple of loans and stuff. And not, like I say, loans doesn't bother me, but it has to be the right one. So I just thought we've got a list of players down that he can say, right, I've got, here's my three choices for this position, three choices for that. So if you don't get the first, you can maybe move to the second, then move to the third. As you feel sometimes we are slow and reacting. I mean, you've seen today, Stuart, all these clubs suddenly getting transfers done in a space of minutes, whereas it took them 30 days to get a transfer in progress. So transfers can be done quickly if you want to push it.
And I think there is. I agree with you. We do appear to be slow, and we don't know the ins and outs of why that is. But yeah, you know, it always feels as if Rangers are leaving things to right at the end. You know, even if the Raskin deal was going on, you know, I'm not saying that there was nothing happening. Clearly, you know, there was movement to try and get maybe one or two others in this window. But when was that starting? You know, and did that just start? Almost it feels as if that started this morning. I'm hoping that that's not the case. But I agree with you. I do feel as if we, you know, when it comes to these windows, it always feels as if we're left to the end. Yeah. We talked in the pod earlier tonight about, you know, interesting to see the kind of relationship with, you know, are these Beale signings? You know, we brought in John Park as the new chief scout, and I think this was his first window, if I'm right, in his new scouting team. I think we had a bit of a feeling that potentially, actually, these are more Beale signings than potentially, you know, John Park and Ross Wilson identifying and working with a manager signings. I don't know what you think in that.
Just to me, like some of the signings, I think the boys might be from down south, and might be Beale's, but obviously the Askins being the radar even when Beale wasn't here, because he was here last summer. But I don't know if Gerrard and Beale identified him the first time. We don't know, because obviously we'd not get time with that. But I just think we are slow at moving forward at times, because I know, as Beale just mentioned, now after the last a lot of press conferences, he always says he knows he's number one, and he doesn't know he's number one, and the goalie's changing. But he has mentioned now we do need a new keeper, which I'm very happy about. But to me, a goalkeeper should want to be one of your first signings, because a goalkeeper is probably the most important, part of the team. Because if you've got a decent keeper, you can build for that. You can have a decent defence, but if your keeper's no decent anymore, like maybe Al McGregor's obviously starting to go down, so he's not going to be playing much longer. John McLaughlin's not good enough. So if you've got a defence, even a settled defence, but if you know your goalkeeper behind you, don't trust them, there's always going to be panic stations. So I think the goalkeeper should be one of the first ones that and Beale come in and says, I need a keeper, unless the keeper he wants isn't available.
Yeah, I mean, I think my view on that is that I think he knows that he needs a new keeper. I could never really understand why Rangers re-signed all three goalkeepers, because to me that was just pushing the problem further down the line, you know. But we need new goalkeepers, at least one, if not two. So I think he knows that, but I think he's probably just assessed his squad and thought to himself, actually, there's more pressing areas, and midfield was probably more pressing. I think he feels he can probably get to the end of the season with what he's got goalkeeping-wise. But absolutely, it's an area that we're going to have to look at. I'd imagine, you know, he's been very clear that he's already knows the number nine that he wants to go for. I'd imagine he's already got a pretty decent idea of who he would like to go for from his goalkeeper as well.
I know, Dave Clark's asking me, because you're a new scout. Am I busy? I'm actually busy, so unless you're going to give me some money, I'll maybe think about it. No, Nicholas Stubborn says here, McGregor will cost me now and then season. I mean, that's my point. He can maybe get away with a lot of games, but you come to the cup final or the other cup competitions and you make one mistake, that might cost you and you're out of the cup. Whereas in a league, I don't think we're going to win the league. I hope I'm wrong, but I think the league's gone. But in a cup, like we said, one mistake for your keeper, especially in a final, it can cost you. And you don't really want that, but if you've got somebody behind you brought in who's knows he's going to be the first choice for a couple of seasons, he wants to impress. But Alan knows he's going to be finished at the end of the season. I know he's still trying to. I'm not saying he's going to let the ball in, isn't he? But obviously, his reactions and stuff like that aren't there like they were. We've noticed that. So I think that could cost us. And I think that's the point. It could come back and bite us in the butt.
I think it's interesting, though. You mean when you look at the transfer window and stuff like that, it's not don't see a great deal of goalkeepers moving during the transfer windows, you know, or a January transfer window, at least. And there's a reason for that, because if they're good goalkeepers, teams don't want to let them go, you know, halfway during a season. I agree, you know, I think this is maybe one of the first times in my Rangers supporting life where I don't have a great deal of confidence in the goalkeepers that we've got there. I noticed today, obviously, it's McGregor's birthday today, you know, and I think there was something on Twitter, Europa League, wished him a happy birthday, but showed that double save that he had against Sparta Prague, you know, in the Europa League a couple of seasons ago. And I'm just thinking, he doesn't make that save, or those two saves, this year, you know, and that he's just went down. So, yeah, I do just believe that Beale probably just assessed, you know, can we get who we want for that goalkeeping position now? No. Okay, then well, I need to strengthen, you know, where I think it needs it most. And I think he pinpointed midfield right from the start.
Yeah, he obviously did. So there's a few positions in the team, but we'll go back to the one that seems to be causing the big issue around social media and this chat and our group chat, Alec Lowry. Do you see Alec getting out on loan? I mean, I've heard some abuse comments, and one minute you think he's praising the lad, next minute you think he's kind of criticising slightly.
Yep.
And the next minute you think he's not really in Beale's plans, so I don't really know what to think, but having seen Alec play, I think he's got so much potential. I think he's a very good footballer, and I just think he needs a chance, but I don't think he'll get a chance, Rangers. I do think he will have to go out and loan, and if he does well, who knows, he might not even be back, because I think he's just going to be one of these guys who, for whatever reason, will just not get his chance for Rangers.
I agree with you in terms of some of Beale's comments have been a bit confusing around him. I think I've said previously in a pod, I think he was asked directly, you know, as Alex Lowry asked you why he's not getting any more minutes, and he said, yeah. But my response to him was, would your teammates pick you? And, you know, that's quite a damning thing to say, I think, at that point, you know, because either that is, you know, I think what it does is it starts to circulate these rumours. Is it a bad attitude? Could it just be that he's just a bit out of form at the moment? You know, he's just not showing it in training. I don't think there's a Rangers fan out there that doesn't want Alex Lowry to be a success and doesn't believe that he's not got the ability to be a success at Rangers. But it does seem a bit strange that his chances appear to be limited. I mean, I would even suggest that a Yanis Hadji, who's just came back from a year out, I think he might even be ahead of the pecking order and ahead of Lowry, at the moment. So why is that? What's causing that? If he's not going to get game time, I would have liked to have seen him go out on loan somewhere. I agreed with the manager's comments about it should be the right team, the right manager and stuff like that. But I know St Mirren were being mentioned, but supposedly that wasn't true. But I think actually St Mirren would have been a decent move for him, just to get some game time and show what he's all about, and then maybe come back for pre-season and hopefully hit the ground running. But
well, I don't Ross know, is asking this, is Lowry ever going to get ahead of Hadji, Lawrence, Campbell, Tolman, etc? Care? Question mark. So, you can't say he never will, but obviously he needs minutes, he needs to prove himself, and then you just never know. You can never say never in football, because we've heard people criticise Hadji, what we've heard. I mean, Lawrence is going about for a while, so when he comes back, will Tolman sign? You just don't know, but I just feel Lowry needed a chance to impress, because when he played for me, he did impress.
Yeah.
And he's only young, and he's coming for a B team into the first team, and he couldn't take time to adjust, because it's a bigger step than people think. And you've seen how well Adam Devine done after a few games, and Nathan Patterson done after a few games. Granted, they were fullbacks, but I think he needs a chance, but I don't think he'll get a chance. That's my thought on it, and I feel like he'll go somewhere else. He'll do really well, and it's one of the ones we could turn and see. We let him go, and it could come back and get us. I mean, we've done it with a few players in the past, but I feel Alec is going to be one of these ones that really we slip away. I'm not sure why, but I feel he is. And I know everybody for the B team is not going to come into the first team. You're lucky if one or two a season do that. But I just feel Alex got that wee bit of extra quality, which for some reason he's not going to get a chance to show. And if we keep putting him behind signings and spending money and players are buying other guys, I always say, what's the point of having an academy if you're never going to trust your young guys? And I'm not saying follow the first team academy players, but give one or two of them a chance, because see if they play and they do well, then you can make, like you've seen, we make money for Nathan Patterson. So, and that's what the academy's kind of there for. We can't always buy players and we can't always spend money. So we have to give somebody, we have to give, if it's not Lowry, we have to give somebody that chance for the academy.
I think, you've seen it towards the tail end of last season when, you know, some of the games, the kids were, obviously we were still in Europe and with the cup final and stuff like that coming up. You know, went to Tynecastle. I know it was kind of last game of the season and stuff like that, but they were excellent that day. I agree with you. If Lowry goes, you know, goes elsewhere from Rangers, I think then there would be real questions being asked about the academy and, you know, what it's doing, because he's, you know, we clearly think a lot of him because we did a lot of work to get him on a brand new contract, to tie him up. So why are we doing that if we're then not giving them the opportunity? But I'll counter that by saying, you know, the manager does see him at day in, day out. You know, what's Lowry doing? Is Lowry performing at the best of his ability in training to force his way into the manager's plans? We don't know. So it's a difficult one. Like I say, I don't know a Rangers fan that doesn't want Alec Lowry to be a success for Rangers. And I don't know a fan that doesn't believe he's got the ability. It's just whether or not he's going to get that opportunity. And I'd hate to see this season just be a bit of a waste for him because he's too good for the B team. So, yeah. No, was he just sitting in the stands or coming on, getting the odd 5 minutes here or there?
Mate, he'll end up doing what Charlie McCann's done, and Charlie's done his what he won't play to prove himself. So I think Alec may do that. And I see folks, if people don't rate him, that's their opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, no matter who it is. So I'm not sure with that at all. I just feel we're maybe letting something go, we shouldn't let go. Do you know that way? But, and I feel sorry for Alec because I feel he does deserve a chance. But I feel it's better for him maybe to be away somebody else playing football. And if he doesn't come back, he doesn't come back. We move on. But I just feel, if given a wee chance, I may have impressed us, do you know what I mean? So, but I just thought I would talk about Alex. So, just before we go, I know Malcolm Beale mentioned maybe he's eyeing a striker next summer. Obviously, do you think it's somebody he's noticed, or do you think it's somebody at the club I've noticed?
I get the feeling it's somebody that he's noticed. The likelihood is that somebody down south that he probably knows from maybe his time either at Villa or when he was, you know, at QPR. I get that. I think we're getting that.
Yes.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we?
Guest appearance.
Listen, I've literally just got out of the B team game and managed to find myself an area where I could get some signal. So it was just to give everybody a wee quick update on tonight's B-team game against Open Goal Broomhill, which finished 2-2, Open Goal scored in literally the last second. Rangers scored 2 goals, the first one for Robbie Ewer, and the second one a very, very good, powerful strike by Zach Lovelace. First half was pretty much controlled by Rangers, played very, very well. The conditions were horrible. The weather was terrible. Second half, I don't know what happened in the second half, but Open Goal came out, played okay. They're not a great side. Rangers are a far, far better side, but came out second half, didn't really start play well at all. Open Goal got a goal back to make it 1-1. It looked as if Open Goal were going to go on and win it, but then Rangers managed to get a foothold in the game again. And like I say, Zach Lovelace took the ball, a nice powerful run, one-on-one with Kirk Broadfoot, and there was only going to be one winner. And Zach Lovelace, it was straight at the keeper, but there was so much power in it, there was no way the goalkeeper was saving it. And then I suppose the real frustrating thing I think, and it shows at this level. There was a couple of opportunities. Like I said, there was seconds to play. A couple of opportunities Rangers had, 3-2, 3-1, and just dilly-dallied on the ball. They had opportunities just to take the ball for a nice wee walk, and the game would have been done. But a misplaced pass, misplaced control, open goal, launched the ball into the box, and it was a header. And that's obviously been the B team's frailties this season. And I suppose it always is going to be in a league like that when you've got young boys playing against men, and they conceded in the, like I said, the last second. So it was disappointing to come away with a 2-2 draw. But that's how it went. That's my first ever attempt at reporting care. And I think it'll be my last.
Well done, Martin.
Well done, Martin.
I think many people want to know, because they've just spent the last 40 minutes talking about Alec Lowry and a lot of people.
I'll tell you one thing just before I go, right? Just before I go, there was a young boy in the park tonight for Rangers, number 11, Aaron Lyle. I've spoke about him before. Man in a match by a country mile. His close control is second to none at that level, especially. He's a massive standout in that B team. Everything good about Rangers tonight effectively came through Aaron. He was outstanding, by far the best player on the park, and a player that I've got real high hopes for going forward, especially. 100%, he was outstanding tonight. So you're talking about care. Young players coming through, obviously the conversation surrounding Lowry. I haven't really had much of a chance to look at my phone because I didn't get much of an internet signal in Broadwood. Broadwood's horrible for a signal, so I don't even know if any of our players have went out on loan. I don't know if we might have brought somebody else in for all I know. But the record that we have of bringing through youth players is not great. Nope. And it would be a real shame if Lowry doesn't make it into that first team, which I'm pretty sure is what you were discussing. But keep your eyes peeled for a young Aaron Lyle coming through. Yes, he's small, but there's a few good players out there who aren't exactly the tallest. But he was outstanding tonight, absolutely outstanding.
Good to
hear,
Martin.
Can I go? You can do it.
Right, okay, good, Nick. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please like and subscribe and all that good stuff. And I'll speak to you all very, very soon. Cheers.
That's on my way. Off the move in for the stream, I'm still hearing my voice through his phone.
He's away now.
So obviously we're talking about a striker there. So do you think it's going to be a Bill striker? He's named, the drink it's coming for maybe the list that Ross Wilson, John Park, whoever else has.
I was just saying I got the feeling, just, and again, I don't know this, but just, you know, you're just listening to his press conference, that, you know, it's, he already knows who it is. He knows their contract situation, whatever, you know, because it was quite clear about the fact that, you know, he believes that they'll be available in the summer, stuff like that. So I just take from that it's somebody that Beale has identified and that who he wants. And I get the feeling that that's somebody potentially from down south, from his time there. You know, there's been a few mentioned, and I know you've got your eye on a particular one. You know, Ollie McBurney to me would do a job for Rangers. Absolutely, I think he's probably slightly underrated in terms of what people think of him. You know, I don't think you play for Sheffield United at that level if you're not a decent player. So, you know, I think he would do a job. For his, I suppose it goes to what sort of striker he's after. You know, is it going to be a kind of like a replacement for Morelos? So he wants that bit more of a physical presence. You know, he had that with kind of Lyndon Dykes and stuff like that at QPR as well. Or is he wanting something a wee bit different? You know, something a wee bit more pace, etc. A bit more, you know, a bit more movement to them. So
No Cameron Abbott.
Because you said that, you're going to be obviously think that somebody Bill's maybe worked with, aren't you? Or Bill's maybe seen in you. And that's the kind of players you're looking at, maybe Ollie or London Dykes.
Yep.
The boy I would like to see is Cameron Archer. Cameron's a fantastic player. He's young. He's out alone at Middlesbrough now. He was at Villa when Michael was there with Steven Gerrard. Now, well, hang on, he's not a contract next season.
He's still not. So it'd have to be a loan, wouldn't it? It would have to. We talked about this earlier.
Unless he can do a deal. I don't think he's going to make Villa's first team. Because I think Villa would rather spend 20, 30 million a striker, 50 million a striker than give somebody like that a chance. But I think he'll score goals. If he come up here and if he got him for a decent fee, he'd probably make his money as well. And he's young as well. I think he's 21 or something, 20, 21 or something like that. So it could be anybody. He could go for, you say, go for a big guy like London Dykes. I could go for somebody who's more of a penalty box player, poacher type of player, and a bit quick. So interesting. I don't think we just need the one player, but I think we need a couple of players, and obviously a striker, goalie, maybe a centre half, looking at fullbacks. We could be here all day, Stuart. It's good to see the boys are brought in, but I know we always want, last January we signed five, but the five turned out to be not great. Once, obviously, Timmy's still here, James Sands is still here, but I thought he might have been away by now, but he's obviously going to go at the end of his season. Yep. I think, obviously, Tillman, we don't know what happened with Malik, so... But obviously, Aaron Ramsey signed, which is exactly. I mean, I've seen people in the chat today on social media, talking about the money we're spending on Raskin or whatever. We spent more money on a loan deal for Aaron Ramsey. Do you know that? It's not really common sense. Think about it. That's a better deal for Raskin than it was for Ramsey. Obviously, well, John.
If we look at Raskin, if he had 2 years left in his contract, Rangers are not in the equation to get Raskin, because the price you would have to pay, we just wouldn't be able to afford it. So I think there's a trade-off here to say we still need to pay something, and yeah, if we've got a sell-on fee, but that's the only way that we are going to be able to get a player like that, because if it was 2 or 3 years left in a contract, he's out our price range, you know.
Easy. So anyway, we've been on for 40 minutes. 40 minutes probably longer than we thought we were going to be on for. There's going to be anybody else coming in through Auchinhowie or in the front doors at Ibrox. So obviously that's the only players we're buying in. So next it'll be Hearts tomorrow night, which will be a hard game. Just before we go, somebody's asked, I'll ask you this, Stuart, because you're the only person that's on with me. What do you think Academy Matthew is at St Johnstone?
I thought you had a decent game, but I can just imagine the reaction in the summer if Remy Matthews is signed as Rangers' number one goalie. I can imagine social media might go into a bit of a kind of meltdown with that. I don't know if I've not checked this, but I heard it in one of the pods or I read it to say that actually statistically he's the worst goalkeeper in the in the league at the moment. But you know, he had a good game. He had two good games, actually, the last two games we played him, so I don't doubt that he's a decent enough goalkeeper, but it wouldn't be for me. I think I would be looking elsewhere. Don't ask me who that is.
I wouldn't bring him in as a number one, but I would bring him in as a number two backup. I think he's better than John McLaughlin,
and he's potentially
like Cammy said, he's only 29, so. And to be honest with you, any keeper up with Mr. Johnson is going to be under a lot of fire. I mean, I know Stu is one for saying a lot of keepers, it looked good because they're siege mentality goalies. In a defence where it's constantly getting papered with shots, so maybe if they make 7-8 saves, they look good, but it might let 4 in. I think goalkeepers look good at that, but at Rangers, it's the opposite. You might only need to make 1 or 2 saves a match, and if you don't make that save, you're criticised because a lot of time you've got the ball. So you have to be more aware of being a Rangers keeper. You have to be more switched on. So I think you have to look at a goalkeeper that way. Not just somebody that can make saves every 5-10 minutes. It's somebody who maybe stand dominant. I'm not saying dominant, but maybe just throw the ball, kick the ball out, pick it up. You're not making a lot of saves. Maybe only, like I said, 1 or 2 a match, but you have to make them. Do you know the way McGregor's been made in the past? The way Gorham done it, the way Chris yep. done it, and Klaus and stuff like that. So I think it's hard. I think it'll be difficult, but there's goalkeepers there. And don't have to be expensive. There's keepers there. We know that there's keepers there. So if it's Scotland, England, if it's abroad, but there'll all be goalies there, but we have to maybe search further afield or search everywhere until we find somebody who we feel it can take over, because we do need a consistent number one. So we
are you of the opinion that McCrory's not the answer?
What I've seen, no. He could turn around and prove me wrong and be really good, but what I've seen him, I don't think so. But that's just my opinion. If he proved me wrong, then I'll gladly be happy about that, but I just don't think he's good enough. I don't know. I mean, like I said, like CGM says, goalkeepers are a lottery. 5 million for Barkas, 300,000 for MM Matthews to Crystal Palace. It's one of the ones, isn't it? It's just your luck who you get. I mean, Jack Butland is always one I fancy going for, but obviously he's went to United on loan. I don't know if he'll stay there next season, yeah. But by all accounts, he's getting about 60 grand a week, so, and he's number two. So if you can get a job sitting on a bench earning 60 grand a week, I would take that every day of the week myself.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So I'll be interesting come the summer, but we'll leave it as it is, and we'll obviously be back tomorrow for match reaction and build up before the Hearts game. So thank everybody for joining us this evening, and thanks, Stuart, for coming on as well. And thank you, like I said, to everybody. Like, subscribe, and do everything else you can, okay? Bye, folks.
Cheers, folks.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.